So let's talk about the management of pneumocystis pneumonia. And every time you have a patient with pneumocystis pneumonia, then there are a couple of things you need to be thinking about. So one is, who needs an admission? Two, do you need to give oxygen? And what type of respiratory support may they require? Three, the nutrition. Then four, the PCP treatment itself. Then there's the looking out for complications and treatment and treatment of co-infections that may occur with the pneumocystis pneumonia. When it comes to admission, then the World Health Organization recommendations for all-cause pneumonia would follow. And the recommendations are that all HIV-infected children who have a severe pneumonia, using the World Health Organization algorithms, should be admitted. And the reason they get admitted is because they are at a higher risk of deterioration and mortality. Now, children who have very severe pneumonia, and as we looked at the algorithms, these are the children who have cyanosis or are grunting or are not able to drink, they will need to be admitted for nutrition, for oxygen, and for monitoring. Now, just to recap again on the classifications of pneumonia, they have a contribution to make on how we manage these patients. So if you have a child who is coughing or has difficulty in breathing, then you ask yourself, are they cyanosed? Do they have hypoxia? That is an oxygen saturation of less than 90. Are they unable to drink? Do they have a reduced level of consciousness? Are they grunting? Then that is classified as severe pneumonia and they need to be coming into hospital. If they don't have that, then you open their chest and you count their respiratory rate for 1 minute and you look for lower chest wall indrawing. And if they have lower chest wall indrawing or they are tachypneic for their age bracket, then they are said to have a pneumonia. Older classifications will stratify these into pneumonia and severe pneumonia. And they need to go to hospital if they have HIV or if they are suspected of having pneumocystis pneumonia. Why? Because they might be hypoxic. If they do not have any of the above, then they do not have pneumonia and they don't need to go to hospital for pneumonia treatment, but they may need to go to hospital for other reasons. When it comes to the grading of pneumocystis pneumonia severity itself, then it's classified into two, mild and a group that's classified as moderate to severe. And this classification actually requires a blood gas analysis, which I know might not be available in many of the low and middle income countries. So if you did have a blood gas, then you would take a blood gas and look at the partial pressure of oxygen on room air and calculate something that's called an AA gradient, and we will have looked at that at previous talks. Now, if the partial pressure of oxygen is less than 70 millimeters of mercury, or the AA gradient is above 35 millimeters of mercury, a normal one is between 5 to 7, then these children are classified as having a moderate to severe pneumocystis pneumonia. They need to come to hospital. They may require admission to an intensive care unit and possible mechanical ventilation. These children need IV antibiotics and they need steroids as part of their management. Now, if you make a diagnosis of pneumocystis pneumonia and you do a blood gas analysis and you calculate an AA gradient and the partial pressure of oxygen is more than 70 on room air, or the AA gradient is less than 35 millimeters of mercury, then those children are graded as having a mild pneumocystis pneumonia. Now, for this category of children, then the antibiotics can be given orally. They don't have to be IV, and steroids are not usually necessary. So in areas where a blood gas analysis is available, then this grading of pneumocystis pneumonia can be used. In areas where blood gas analysis is not available, then we would stick to the classification, the clinical classifications given by the World Health Organization and widely adopted in many low and middle income countries. Now, the specific therapy for pneumocystis pneumonia is cotrimoxazole, which is called Cotrim in some literature. Sometimes it's called Septrin. Initially, you would use it IV, especially for the categories of moderate to severe, for the initial 3 to 10 days, and then you can transition to oral. The total duration of treatment is 21 days, and the dose given is 20 milligrams per kg per day in 4 divided doses, and this is based on the trimethoprim component. It needs adjusting for renal failure, so if a child has an abnormal creatinine or they have any form of renal dysfunction, then you probably need to be looking back at literature and figuring out how to adjust the dose of cotrimoxazole, and we will further talk about this. You need to watch for hypersensitivity, and the main presentation of the hypersensitivity is usually a rash that can go all the way to Stevens-Johnson syndrome. Now, in children who have been on Cotrim or Septrin or cotrimoxazole prophylaxis and they get pneumocystis pneumonia breakthrough, the cotrimoxazole would still be used as first line. And this is because most of the time the pneumocystis pneumonia breakthrough is usually related to non-adherence and not to resistance. Now, there is alternative therapy, and not many studies in children, as in many other things, but the alternative therapy given is intravenous pentamidine at 4 milligrams per kg per day, and this can be given at around day 5 to day 7 if a patient is not tolerating or not improving on cotrimoxazole. The thing to remember before switching therapy is you have to make sure that the reason for your deterioration or the reason for your non-improvement is not because of the presence of other complications or co-infections. Now, the most widely used regimen in low and middle income countries is actually a combination of clindamycin and primaquine, and the dose given is 10 milligrams per kg per dose every 6 hours. This is a similar dose as you would give for other bacterial infections, and this is combined with primaquine at 0.3 milligrams per kg per day of the base. There has to be a caution in patients who have glucose-6-phosphate dehydrogenase deficiency because it can trigger hemolysis, especially the primaquine component. Now, trimethoprim and dapsone, which are all oral, have been used for mild cases. Unfortunately, there is not much evidence for pediatrics in both trimethoprim and dapsone combinations or clindamycin and primaquine combinations. So let's talk about steroids use in the management of pneumocystis pneumonia. So steroids, and usually prednisone, is indicated in moderate and severe disease. And as we talked about previously, you would have to do a blood gas analysis where one is available and calculate the AA gradient and also look at the partial pressure of oxygen at room air. And if the classification qualifies for the category of moderate to severe disease, then steroids are indicated. Now, the reason they are indicated is because they reduce mortality and the need for mechanical ventilation. But there is no clear role in the non-HIV-related pneumocystis pneumonia. So this means that if a child got pneumocystis pneumonia in the context of cancer, for example, or a primary immunodeficiency, then there is no clear role, clear defined role for steroids in this category of patient. Now, the commonly used regimen is actually oral prednisone for 21 days, and this is given orally. And you would start with an initial regimen of 2 milligrams per kg per day for 5 days, and then you half that in the subsequent 5 days, and then you half that in the subsequent 11 days. And as usual, you would have to check doses of medications for children in whatever reference books that we use in our settings. Now, when you look at the graph on the right, it's a Kaplan-Meier survival curve looking at categories of patients who are put on steroids and a category of patients who were put on placebo in addition to appropriate therapy for pneumocystis pneumonia. So the steroid group is a continuous line with prednisone, and the placebo group is the dotted line below. And as we can see, is that prednisone improved survival in these patients, in this category, in the patients who are put on appropriate therapy for pneumocystis pneumonia with addition of steroids, improved survival, and the benefits continued to carry on up to 200 days post-enrollment. So in children who have pneumocystis pneumonia that's classified as moderate to severe, then you need to be putting them on steroids to reduce mortality and also to reduce the need for mechanical ventilation.